The line forms here.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Glad you joined us as we continue coverage of the fallout from the financial crisis. The list of people who are either filing through lines or filing through paperwork to get an unemployment check is getting longer. Jobless claims last week increased to the highest level since just after 9/11 and are comparable to other notable economic downturns.
If we look back at previous recessions, 516,000 claims number like we got this morning is even higher than the levels we saw, say, in 2001 and in the early 90s. In general, this recession is shaping up to look something more along the lines of an early 1980s shortfall.
Dana Saporta, an economist, it was billed as a rescue of the banking system, a $700 billion bailout plan to buy up those nasty mortgage-related securities, i.e. bad loans. But Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has essentially scrapped that plan.
I will never apologize for changing an approach or strategy when the facts change. I think the apology should come the other way if someone doesn't change when the facts change. So I think we move quickly, we move powerfully to address the situation.
This morning, there are reports about a new approach to unclogging the credit crunch. And here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
The bailout was supposed to get banks lending again. They're not. So now Paulson wants to give $50 billion to the Federal Reserve in hopes of jumpstarting the market for consumer loans.
This market, which is vital for lending and growth, has for all practical purposes ground to a halt.
Normally, when you use your credit card or get a car loan, some of your debt is bundled up and sold as bonds to investors. 40% of all consumer lending used to be financed this way. But the market for consumer debt has collapsed, and that's making car loans and credit cards more expensive. Paulson hopes that $50 billion and some government guarantees will get it moving again. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
There is movement on the markets. Unfortunately for investors, though, they're going the wrong way. Well, the bright spot this morning, the S&P 500 up by a point. Everyone else down. The Dow down 7.5. NASDAQ down about 14 points, or nearly a percent so far this morning. In Asia, the Nikkei and Hang Seng shed about 5% each. European markets started the trading day on a down note as well, but closed mixed. Let's see. The economic picture is pretty bleak. Unemployment up. Check. Industries needing government help. Check. Markets dropping like flies. Check. Let's think about the holidays. Retailers are. This morning, Walmart reported a 10% increase in third quarter profits, but scaled back its profit outlook because of the troubled global economy and the renewed strength of the dollar. For a lame duck legislature, Congress will have plenty to talk about when that session begins on Monday. The big three have been begging for help, the automakers, and now they, along with nearly 300 others, ranging from drug companies to food makers, are asking for a different kind of help, relief from pension contributions. Here's Alisa Roth.
This story actually starts 2 years ago when President Bush signed the Pension Protection Act. Among other things, it says companies with underfunded pension plans need to contribute more money to them. These days, though, there are an awful lot of defined benefit plans that are underfunded since their values have dropped along with the stock market. The companies that fund those plans, like Kraft Foods, Pfizer, Ford, and Boeing, are worried that paying up will cost them jobs, or worse. Alicia Minnell directs the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. She says that's probably no exaggeration, so Congress might just be willing to listen.
We have seen enough companies on the brink of bankruptcy. I think Congress might want to offer some temporary relief.
In the long term, though, she says to look for new rules, ones that would let companies contribute more when times are good and cut back when they're not. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by Clarkson Potter, publishers of The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, a holiday gift idea for people who love to eat. Now available at splendidtable.org.
Maybe you've heard the business term leverage. It's really just a fancy word for borrowing. So deleveraging means getting your money back, right? Not so much, as we start and consult with Sally Herships over at the Marketplace Decoder.
Leverage has gotten a bad rap recently. But David Byme of Columbia Business School says borrowing isn't a bad thing.
If people are willing to lend you money, you can do more. You can buy more things.
But it can get out of hand. Byme said that's what happened in the early 2000s with the housing boom.
You could get money. I think I got something like 4 5/8%. It was really a cheap rate.
And it wasn't just people borrowing big to buy houses. Companies borrowed to buy competitors. Investment funds borrowed billions to buy mortgage-backed bonds. Many of them borrowed way too much.
We call it leverage because being in debt makes good times better, but it makes bad times worse, sort of like alcohol.
Imagine buying a $1 million home with $100,000 down. If the home appreciates 10%, you double your money. But if the value of the home falls 10%, you could lose everything. Some investment companies borrowed 30 times what they had in the bank. They bought mortgage-backed securities, which was fine when the value of those bonds was rising. But when they started to fall, the companies stood to lose a lot of money. And it was time to deleverage.
There's only two ways to do that. One is to build up more capital to meet the assets, or to sell off the assets.
Building capital, or making money, in other words, is tough when the markets are sliding and the economy is in a recession. So investment firms have to sell. And the more bonds, stocks, and loans they sell, the more they have to lower the prices to find buyers. And that brings all the markets down.
Trouble is, there's not enough hands to hold all the assets that we've created. So the world is having trouble deleveraging all at the same time. We can't all deleverage because somebody's got to buy the assets we're trying to sell.
It's not just the investment companies that are in trouble. David Byme says the average American household borrows 24 times what it earns. Most of the stuff that we've bought with that money is declining in value. And as we slip into recession, it's getting harder for us to keep up the payments on our debt. And that means we need to deleverage, every bit as badly as the banks do. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.